And it is time for our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, February 3rd. First, our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, is in with top stories from state politics this week, including the decision by Republican State Senator Dale Schultz to retire rather than seek re-election this year. After 7:30, Senator Schultz will tell us what he thinks about the current state of state politics, and we will welcome your questions and views all hour at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. First, let me welcome in Sean Johnson, who joins us most Mondays at this time with a roundup of the top stories in state government. Hello, Sean.
Hi.
So Dale Schultz is calling it quits.
Yeah, and there was some thought that he might run again, possibly as an independent, and that would have set up a pretty interesting race in that district there if you had three candidates running, including a longtime state senator switching from Republican to an independent. He decided not to do that after talking with his family. And just in talking with the senator, I know you're going to talk with him soon, but asking him if there was a point when he started to sort of part ways with the Republican Party, if it was a vote he took on mining, on Act 10. He actually cited the rise of the Tea Party in American politics.
You know, our life has, in recent years, sort of been steered by a group of people with enormous power and very powerful media organs. And, you know, they've sort of picked at the scab of the carnage of the Great Recession. It's a damn poor kind of leadership when people seek to divide, don't appeal to the best in people, they appeal to the worst.
Wow, he has a way with words.
Yeah, he wasn't really holding back that day, you know, in any of the interviews that I read.
And we will be talking with Senator Schultz after 7:30, but Senator Schultz was facing a primary challenger from someone who is a more conservative Republican.
Yeah, and not just a more conservative Republican. I mean, is facing a primary challenger from, you know, essentially the party establishment. Howard Markline, Republican assemblyman from Senator Schultz's district, had already announced he was going to run in that seat, had already raised a bunch of money, and, you know, in fact, has $142,000 cash on hand as of the latest report. And so, you know, he was going to probably lock up a sizable portion of the conservative vote had they gone to a Republican primary, would have made it difficult for him, which is why you heard Senator Schultz talking about possibly running as an independent. And so, you know, then who knows what happens.
But the district itself, Democrats are saying that this is maybe a district that they can win. Is it a swing district?
They've always talked about the Schultz district that way. And it's a district that he's been able to do well in because he'll take stands that sometimes go against his party. And because, yeah, this is at top of the ticket. Obama won this pretty big in the last election. And so the Democrats view this as one of their, you know, one of their top chances at flipping a state Senate seat in this year's upcoming elections. The flip side of that is that Governor Walker won this district in the recall, so it's not, you know, not like something that Republicans can't win.
Oh, Wisconsin, you are so confusing. Anyway, let's talk a little bit more about these campaign fundraising reports that came out last week. How's it shaping up for the race for governor?
Yeah, we've got some numbers in for the governor's race. I think the big number to focus on is cash on hand, because that's how much money they've got going forward into this year. And as of the December 31st of last year, Governor Walker had $4.6 million cash on hand to Mary Burke's $1.3 million. And if you look at how much they raised over the last 6 months of 2013, Walker raised more than $5 million, Burke $1.8 million. So it's not exactly an apples-to-apples comparison. Remember, Mary Burke only got into the race in October, so she didn't have the full fundraising period to benefit from that the governor did. But and I think it just goes to show you that he's not going to have any issues raising money this time. You know, that just because it's not the recall anymore, he's still able to raise considerable cash. I mean, he's got more than twice as much cash on hand as he did at this point in the 2010 election, for example. So he's going to enjoy the benefits of incumbency and of the national fundraising network that he developed in the recall. And, you know, she's raising money at a pretty quick clip, but she's got her hands full on that front.
Well, a new poll came out from the Marquette University Law School last week, and it showed the Governor Walker had a more of a lead over Mary Burke now?
Yeah, it was closer the last time that they polled on that. I think this time it was 47 to 41. So he had widened his lead. I still think the big number that to focus on in that poll at this point in the race, the number that kind of sums it up is that 70% of people didn't know enough or didn't have an opinion about Mary Burke. So what that means is you've got this sizable chunk of the electorate who is, essentially waiting to learn before they weigh in on her. And is it going to be Mary Burke who kind of fills in the gaps and says, here's what I'm about? Or is it going to be, you know, Scott Walker, Republican allies who come out with the big ad buy and say, here's the real Mary Burke, you know?
Well, we just heard Mary Burke in our state newscast, Sean. She's proposing raising Wisconsin's minimum wage to $10.10, which is that's going to grab some headlines, huh?
It is bigger than she has backed before. Yeah, she was on Mike Gushay's statewide television program yesterday, and here's Gushay asking Burke about one of President Obama's calls to action, that call for the raising the minimum wage.
President Obama was in Waukesha on Thursday. He said, I'd like to see states raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. Right now it's $7.25 an hour. Would you support that?
I do support it. And
$10.10 an hour?
Yeah, I do support it. I think we have to do it in a way that makes sure that we are not hurting job creation. But I have been talking to businesses all over the state who say they support that.
Okay, so we're not just having policy debates here. This is an election year. How is Mary Burke going to frame this in her contest against Governor Walker? And she gave a hint there.
I think Governor Walker and standing in the way of raising the minimum wage basically is ensuring that people have to be dependent on government programs. We have to make sure that people can support themselves and do it in a way that doesn't have to make them dependent on government programs.
So, you know, support on government programs, the governor's thinking, hey, that's my line, you know. So it's a case of campaigns positioning themselves here, and you know, a campaign wants to be on offense. So I imagine Mary Burke's campaign says we want to talk about this. And you know, you referenced that Marquette poll. That minimum wage was something that was polled there, and it found that 62% of Wisconsin residents want the minimum wage raised. And after they were told the current minimum was $7.25 an hour, 73% wanted to hike the minimum wage to at least $9 an hour. So, you know, she feels like she's on solid footing there, politically speaking.
So why didn't Mary Burke join President Obama when he visited Wisconsin last week?
I think she just said that she had other commitments. She was campaigning. Republicans said it just, you know, it reflects how unpopular President Obama is. And she wasn't the only Democrat nationally who was busy when President Obama was coming by for a stop recently. So I don't know that hurts her exactly. You know, being kind of poked fun at the fact that she wasn't there, although it might hurt her having nobody know her and not being where all the TV cameras are in the state on that particular day. You know, that might arguably hurt her, but it's a trade-off that her campaign was willing to make.
We are talking with Sean Johnson. He is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, talking about the top stories in state government and state politics during this edition of our State Capitol Report. We'll get back to some other campaign fundraising reports for other races in Wisconsin, including Attorney General and State Senate. We'll talk about some other bills that are making their way through the state legislature including two big water bills that got public hearings last week. And we'll welcome your questions for Sean. We'll also welcome your thoughts on state politics. Like, what do you make of Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke saying she supports Wisconsin's raising Wisconsin's minimum wage to $10.10 an hour? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine talking with our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, who is bringing us up to date on the top stories from state politics this week. Coming up after 7:30, our State Capitol Report will feature Republican State Senator Dale Schultz, who has announced he will not seek re-election this year after more than 30 years as a state lawmaker. And Sean, you touched on it in our last segment, the fundraising numbers came in last week for a number of state races, and Dale Schultz was falling far behind his primary challenger in this race.
Yeah, and so we have two candidates remaining in that race, and there's really two state Senate races that we know of for sure where there ought to be competitive races, and Democrats essentially need to pick up three this time if they want to win the majority. So a couple of seats they're focused on, the Dale Schultz seat. And in that race, Howard Markline has a 15-1 cash advantage over Ernie Whitwer, the Democrat running in that race right now.
That's
142,000 cash on hand to 9,000. So that is substantial. That, again, that's a district that by the numbers, Democrats are saying we want to go get. But as far as the fundamentals, sort of the basic fundamentals of the campaign so far, they're not there yet. And you look in the 19th Senate District, the Mike Ellis seat. Mike Ellis has held that seat for a long time. But again, that's one that by the numbers, Democrats feel like they have a shot at. Democrat Penny Bernard-Shaber, state assemblywoman from Mike Ellis's district, actually outraised Senate President Mike Ellis in the last half of last year. She raised $72,000. To $55,000 for Ellis. Ellis, though, is a pretty sizable campaign war chest. He still does. He still has twice as much cash on hand as Penny Bernard-Shaber, but she's got an active campaign up there and has been, you know, to outraise him, so she's been busy.
And I'm sorry, maybe I misspoke. Mm-hmm. Senator Schultz, who's not going to run for re-election now, was he falling behind his primary challenger, or wasn't that apparent?
On the fundraising, mm-hmm. I didn't look at his report from that would have come in on Friday yet, but he, I guess back in July when those numbers came out, he was behind considerably.
And some were speculating that maybe he wasn't even trying because of this decision.
At that point, he really hadn't started fundraising yet. I don't know if he ever did.
All right. What about for the race for attorney general? We know that J.B. Van Hollen is not going to run for that post again.
Yeah, this is not exactly on people's radars this early in the game, maybe. But you have a few candidates running. One Republican who has been endorsed by J.B. Van Hollen now, by the way. Waukesha County D.A. Brad Schimmel. Raised about $177,000, had $172,000 on hand. So he's got by far the most of the candidates running for AG. Among the Democrats who are running, State Representative John Richards raised about $64,000, had about $92,000 on hand. And Dane County DA Ishmael Ozan reported raising about $45,000. That included $20,000 loan to himself, and he had about $50,000 on hand. And then there's another Jefferson County District Attorney, Susan Happ, but she hasn't reported any campaign finance activity yet. She just got into the race.
But it looks like the Republican candidate in this race is raising the most money.
Yeah, and he has some of the same people running his race that ran J.B. Van Hollen's race. They've got a decent track record among the Republican races that they've been involved with. So he's got a early start there. And Waukesha County is a good place to raise money for a Republican candidate.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about a legal race, any news on the what's the latest on the John Doe investigation?
I think we know that it's out there, essentially. I mean, it is not a figment of your imagination. It's certainly something that is out there. It continues. An appeals court panel issued a decision last week basically declining to take it on an expedited appeal. They also made public some documents, though, it's a John Doe, so they didn't make public documents that said here are the people we are investigating, and here are the campaign committees. And so you couldn't exactly look at all the documents that they released last week and connect those dots. But you do know that this is a case that's ongoing. You know, conservative groups and their attorneys have fought it vigorously, and they've been out very publicly fighting it this time, as opposed to the previous John Doe, the one that was, you know, wrapped up almost a couple years ago now. You know, they've been out in the pages of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, their attorneys talking with the editorial page there, and really, you know, really going after this John Doe, calling it a witch hunt and everything else. But one thing you did learn from the documents released last week, well, you didn't learn it last week, but affirmed last week in those documents, is that this is something that is an investigation that was going in five counties in Wisconsin. Five DAs were looking at this, and they vested their authority into a single investigator to take over things, or single attorney. And so, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about these Wisconsin water bills that got hearings last week, one dealing with high-capacity wells and one dealing with phosphorus.
Yeah, the high-capacity wells one's pretty interesting, pretty emotional topic, especially in the Central Sands region of Wisconsin. And essentially what's at issue here is that you recently, a few years ago, had a state Supreme Court decision, the Lake Beulah decision, that ruled that the DNR had the authority to regulate these high-capacity wells in ways that, you know, others didn't think they did. I mean, that because of the protections that our state's constitution gives to the waters of the state of Wisconsin, that those, you know, extended to groundwater. And so gave the DNR the power to consider the cumulative effects of high capacity wells. So if there's a bunch of wells on this property, a bunch more on the property next to you, a bunch more on the property next to you, those are going to be potentially a factor as the DNR decides what to do going forward, managing those wells, especially if the lake, you know, that's right down the road is drying up, as some are in the Central Sands. There's a bill in the legislature pushed by Republicans, including Senator Neil Kedzie of Elkhorn. Neil Kedzie actually authored the last groundwater protection bill that passed the Wisconsin legislature in about 2003 or 2004. And that was a, you know, big bipartisan bill. But Neil Kedzie says that the court went too far here, and they don't have audio of him, that they need to, the legislature needs to step in. And essentially who wants this are like potato and vegetable farmers in the Central Sands region who use this these high-capacity wells to turn soil that might not be viable into pretty fertile farmland. Here's one of those who testified. Farmer Steve Dirks, who said that, you know, these essentially make his farm go.
Without irrigation, our crop production would fall. In drought years like 2012 and things, we probably wouldn't have a crop.
But you have landowners in that region who are not potato vegetable farmers or dairy farmers, just people who live there, who enjoy the lakes, or who have a well for their own water in their home, pretty concerned about this, pretty concerned about the drawdown of these lakes and what it's doing to the water table up there with all these high-capacity wells. And one of the people that testified was Gail Kretschmer. Gail Kretschmer says that, you know, she doesn't blame these farmers for wanting to keep their farms going, to preserve the ability to have these high-capacity wells and, you know, to be able to pass on their farms. But, you know, she said that there's a serious water issue there and elsewhere in Wisconsin, and that people like her have rights too.
I don't blame them at all for wanting to pass their farm on down to the third, fourth, fifth and generation, because that is pride and that is hard work and that's an accomplishment. But you know what? Every citizen in Saratoga and many of us want to transfer our property someday too. We want to be able to give it to our children too.
And just real quick, how serious is the water issue in the Central Sands region? Real quick clip here from UW hydrologist George Kraft. who says that if the state goes back to the old law, the issue there is that that wasn't doing much to protect lakes and streams.
I don't foresee a case where we're going to run out of water. But, you know, quite seriously, we may dry up every lake and stream in the Central Sands.
Uh-oh.
Very briefly, because we have just a minute, what would the phosphorus bill do that got a hearing?
Yeah, that's a little more complicated and a little less clear-cut on the opposition versus the proponents. But during the closing days of the Doyle administration, they passed something, the DNR, that would give the DNR power to curtail phosphorus emissions into, you know, lakes and streams. Essentially, it was focused on places like municipal, metropolitan, you know, sewerage districts. Because it's hard to meet those goals, this would give those entities other options, including spending money on projects elsewhere to take care of phosphorus instead of their own. So it could be you get more bang for your buck that way, but the environmental group's not totally sold.
Well, we'll have to do more on that in another State Capitol report. Sean, thanks for being here.
All right, thank you.
This is the Ideas Network.